Well, up next on Finals Fever, it is the Europa League and arguably the most interest in any of the European finals this season because it's an all-England affair between Tottenham and Manchester United and it will take place in Bilbao. And Manchester United, Mark, have already had a little bit of experience of playing in Bilbao. Will that help them along the way?
No, I don't think it will. I don't think that'll play any part, Warren, really. It was a great result for them to beat Athletic away from home. I didn't see that one coming until I was at sort of the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on the same night and checked the phone at half time. I was like, hold on a second, what's going on here? I fully expected that to be a really tight game, and then by the time Spurs had beaten Bodo and I got home, like, all the trains and sort of planes and everything to Bilbao had just been booked up by excited Manchester United fans. So as a Spurs fan, I'm really excited for the game. Making the long trip on Sunday via Malaga. The wife wasn't particularly happy that it's sort of a five-day trip, but needs must, and if I leave now, I might just get there.
I think Mark's wife heard Malaga and thought, oh, maybe a holiday, well, but not quite working out
not
as planned.
Not for her, anyway.
James, in terms of these two teams' seasons, of course, in the league, it's been an absolute disaster, basically, across the board for both United and Spurs. I can't remember a time when so much hinges for two clubs on one big final.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for neutrals, unlike Mark, but there is going to be some kind of grim fascination to this final because, as you say, you know, United on going to have their lowest finish since they were relegated. Tottenham really, really struggling as well. And it doesn't reflect brilliantly on the Europa League that, you know, these two were at the top of the betting at the start of the season. They've been hopeless pretty much ever since, and now we're looking forward to seeing them in the final. But it adds a real layer of interest to the game, and I think as the betting suggests, you know, the to lift the quote, the trophy betting is very, very tight, and I think it's going to be really intriguing.
I think, Warren, it's sort of worth pointing out, certainly from sort of Tottenham's point of view anyway, that in like a generation of fans, this is either going to be the best season that they've known or the worst season, and it rests solely on one match. And I just can't remember sort of teams being in that position before. I'm sure they have been, but it almost feels like a playoff final, and kind of that joy that's going to come from, you know, what would be being in the Premier League, or, you know, in this case being in the Champions League, to kind of, you know, the whole nothingness of the campaign.
There's no real safety net for the losers, is there?
No,
you know, you're not even looking back and saying, well, we did well to get there. I mean, you know, both clubs were expected to get there from the start. So it's,
I mean, Nick, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, but there's not much between the two of them in the league in terms of the standings. Who's in a better position at the moment as a club?
I think when they're all fit, Tottenham's best 11 is better than Man United's as it stands right now. And I think football fans sometimes have become conditioned to believing that when we talk about injuries, that it's an excuse for poor performance rather than a reason. And the amount of injuries Tottenham had in the middle of the season, they couldn't win as many games as they were expected to with the players that they had out. The keeper was out, both centre-backs were out and one full-back. Yeah. Injuries in midfield, injuries to Son and Maddison and Solanke. I was convinced in the middle of the season that this would all turn out perfectly for Spurs because all these players were going to come back fresh in the spring. The Europa League's a bit weaker than we've seen before because the Champions League being expanded to 36 teams. There's four more teams in the Champions League that would have been in this tournament and are rivals to Spurs and Man United in previous years, and maybe that's made it a little bit weaker as well. I just thought everything was going to come right for Spurs. What I didn't see was them unravelling to the extent that they'd be 16th or 17th in the league. I didn't see it going that far. And even now, we're talking about wanting to see Spurs' best 11. Well, already Maddison and Bergvall are out, so it's not their best 11 as it stands. It wouldn't put it past them getting one more injury before they go there somehow. All that said, I do think Tottenham are the better side. I try to be rational about things, and I don't like this idea that Man United just find ways to win finals and Tottenham find ways to lose them. But I can't help but have that in the back of my head. And you must be the same, Mark.
Spurs have lost the last four finals and they haven't scored in any of them. And so that immediately you think, well, that's bottle jobs. But then you look at the four teams that they actually played against. It was Pep's Man City, Klopp's Liverpool, Ferguson's Manchester United, and Mourinho's Chelsea. So, I mean, realistically, we would have hoped for more than no goals, but realistically, weren't going to win too many of those games. So, I think I'd be less inclined to sort of be worried about that. United's win over Man City in the FA Cup final last year, that did come out of the blue and it was a very good performance. But they lost the final to Villarreal a couple of seasons ago, and Villarreal had never won anything in their life. And nobody said at that point, oh, you know, United always win finals.
And they scraped past Coventry in the FA Cup.
Yeah, and you know, well, the lad that was offside for that goal, I mean, that wasn't because United are steeped in history. So, but Nick, you're not convinced?
No, I think I am. I am convinced. I think that United, for that FA Cup final with City last year, were in the right place at the right time. Mm. 5 days before the game, City had just won the title, 7 days before, and Grealish and Rodri were out, you know, spotted partying. If that had been the Champions League final, not the FA Cup final, they would not have been there. Mm. So I think City took that FA Cup final for granted, which would go back to the FA Cup final. That's bad news for Palace, because they won't do that this year. Yeah. But they haven't just won a title. So I think United got a little bit fortunate that day. I'm sticking to my guns here and I want to be with Tottenham, but I was really bullish coming into this a few weeks ago. When they drew Bodo, I thought they'll definitely get through this, and I want to be them against, if they can play United, because obviously Bilbao were the favourites for that tie, and they took care of that. I thought, I really want to be with Spurs here. They've lost two players to injury since. They've been even worse in the league, although so have United, so put a line through that. So I'm still with Tottenham, just not quite as confident as I thought I might be.
I'm here to boost you, Mark. Don't worry, we'll forget all that talk about cup bottle jobs and all this. In terms of the form guide, Spurs have beaten United three times this season, unbeaten in seven. Should we maybe look into that a bit more?
Well, I'd say that's more relevant than kind of Tottenham losing a final 10 years ago or whatever. But I tend to, you know, Bruno Fernandes got sent off in the first game of those. The League Cup quarter final, I was at that game, like, it was just bonkers.
Hectic,
I mean,
yeah.
And Son scored a corner, and you know, the whole game was chaotic. And then the third game, United had we talk about Spurs' injuries. United, it was like kindergarten on their bench, if you remember. It was Lindelof and like some 15-year-olds. It was crazy. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I think that they're two teams. There's not much between them. If I look at it, I go goalkeeper, not much in it. I think Tottenham have definitely got the better defence. Despite what their sort of record might suggest. United's midfield is better because Bruno Fernandes, I don't understand the hate he gets from kind of Roy Keane and some others, really. I think he's sort of a victim of his own success with how good he is. I think Tottenham have got the edge in the centre forward position. I think United have got the better manager. So there's not much in it. My best bet for this game is Tottenham draw no bet. And the reason is that when they've got that back four and goalkeeper together, they've only played 30 times together. So that's Vicario, Porro, Van de Ven, Romero and Udogi. They've played 30 times together in sort of, you know, since Postecoglou arrived. And during that time, they've only lost six games. They've won 18. Their average points per game is 2. Mm. And if you can average 2 points per game over the best part of a season, that's 30 matches, you're talking there about a really solid team that sort of is Champions League level. Now, they've not reached that level this season, but they've had injuries to virtually all of those players. So I think there's more excuses for why it's gone wrong for them than there are for Manchester United.
I mean, Milt Smart just mentioned Bruno Fernandes there, and he scored 7 goals. He's the leading scorer in the Europa League. There seems to be so much pressure on him to deliver goals, because where are they going to come from otherwise?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, United's attacking recruitment has not gone well for a long time. We're going to come on to Anthony in the when we talk about the Conference League final. But yeah, I think you're quite right. And I think, you know, Mark's point about if Tottenham can get that first choice defensive unit out, then they don't have much to fear from United. My bet for this game is Tottenham to win in under 3.5 goals. Feel like they're less expansive in Europe. I think four of their last 5 Europa League away games have had under 2.5. And just looking at the way they, you know, soaked up a lot of pressure away to Eintracht Frankfurt, then, you know, there was a lot of talk before the trip to Bodo Glimt, you know, all the makings of an awkward night. And, you know, Tottenham produced a pretty professional performance, which, let's face it, they don't always. So I think they've got a real opportunity to frustrate United, and then, as Mark said, they've got some useful attacking players as well.
Nick, a lot's been made of Ange Postecoglou saying earlier in the season, "I always win a trophy in the second campaign." he's had to deal with that comment throughout the whole of this season. He's going to have a huge grin on his face if Tottenham can get over the line, isn't he?
Yeah, and rightly so, because if you come out and make a big comment like that and you back it up, you just, you deserve it. You know, he's been a bit spiky, as you'd expect. He's a manager in 16th or 17th place. He's also gets asked some pretty stupid questions in some of these press conferences, and he gives them back what they deserve some of the time. So I'm quite a big Ange fan, actually. I like him, and I hope he wins. Mark, does he keep his job even if they
if
they win?
I can't.
He might go anyway.
I think he'll be saying goodbye. It'll be his 100th game. I think it'd be 100 and out. And rightly so. I think his prickly nature wears thin now, and the kind of mate shtick has kind of run its course. So, new manager, hopefully with a trophy in the bag.
Though. Well, we shall see. It'll be an intriguing encounter in Bilbao, that's for sure. And SBK will be running a 50% bet builder boost on all four of the finals that we're covering. Maximum stakes and terms and conditions apply, but certainly one to look forward to. Just a reminder, it's on Wednesday evening for Tottenham against Manchester United. Wednesday, May the 28th, we'll see the Europa Conference League final, and it's another English club in action as Chelsea take on Real Betis. It's been a competition, Nick, where pretty much from the first ball was kicked, Chelsea were the red-hot favourites to win.
Yeah, they were, and people can talk about whether this competition's really beneath them or whatever, but they finished seventh in the league, and that's where you go, so there's no exceptions for it being Chelsea. Does it devalue the competition slightly that they've played reserves basically the whole way through and now they're into the final? Perhaps, but they've not really played anyone along the way, and this will be their first actual decent opponent that they come up against. It'll be interesting to see what Maresca does in terms of team selection and whether he wants to reward some of the players like Keenan Dewsbury Hall, who's played all the way along, whether he'll go back to his best 11 for this final, or he'll reward some of those guys that have been on the periphery and have got them to this final. That's quite interesting. Although actually, Betis have done the same. They've rotated a few times to get here. So, yes, it's an odd competition. It's the odd one out in Europe. They didn't change to the eight-game format that the other two did. But we've ended up with a final between two good football teams that should be a decent spectacle. And it's going to be a tough game for Chelsea.
Nick, do you bet on the Conference League?
I've done very little on it this season. It's just there's so many games on a Thursday night now with Europa and Conference that to try to be across it all has been quite tough. So I've let a lot of it. I let the group stage especially just pass me by a bit.
A bit like Chelsea, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen teams before look as strong as Chelsea, let's say in European competition, Milts, but the fact that they haven't had a test and now, as Nick says, they will have one in the final, is that going to make it trickier for them?
Yeah, it is an interesting one for Maresca, who, we talked about if Ange is going to get the sack after winning the final. There's obviously doubts over Maresca's future as well. This time last season, Chelsea seemed to be getting it together under Pochettino, and then he was off. So I think he has to go strong, doesn't he, with his team selection. It has been a very strange competition. Just looking at the prices for Chelsea's semi-final away to Djurgården, the home team are 9-1 to win a European semi-final. It doesn't feel quite right. But as Nick said, I think this is going to be a proper final, and Betis come into it in great form. I think only a couple of defeats in their last 20 or so games in all competitions, and Chelsea certainly can't take them lightly.
The standout name, Mark, in the Betis squad will be Antony, because he's scored 4 goals in this competition despite only joining them in January, having had an absolute nightmare spell at Manchester United. He's one of a few of the former Premier League boys in the Betis squad.
Yeah, so Antony's probably the standout name, but you've got Fornals, Lo Celso, Hector Bellerin is there, Pellegrini's the coach. So, I think it's a good place to shop, really, because the Premier League, you end up getting these players, and the Premier League teams are so bloated, and they throw money away left, right, and centre that you can actually just pick these players up because they're no longer wanted. But in Antony, you had somebody. Now, okay, United overpaid for him when they bought him, but there was definitely a lot of hype around his ability when he arrived. Yeah. And so, you know, there was definitely something there. It just hasn't worked out for any number of reasons, but he's definitely been an important player for them. And yeah, the players I've just mentioned, they're all quite attacking. You've got Isco as well, somebody that, you know, I don't know, what, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, was seen as one of the real stars in Spain.
I felt sure he must have had an ill-fated loan spell at Chelsea. I had to check that before the show, but he hasn't.
So I think really from Betis' point of view, they've got a lot going forward, and this match means so much to them. I don't know if you saw the video clip after the semi-final against Fiorentina. They were welcomed back by thousands. Mm. Now, I don't even think there were thousands at Stamford Bridge watching Chelsea semi-final. So that's the kind of difference that you've got between the two teams. And I think that Betis, I was looking at their results against the best teams in Spain, have drawn twice against Barcelona, and Barcelona are better than Chelsea. So I think this is a dangerous game for Chelsea if they're not sort of fully at it. The way I'm looking to play it is both teams to score. I looked at sort of Betis there, as we speak, they're in sixth spot in La Liga. In nine of the games they've played against teams above them in La Liga, they've scored. So they do carry a forward threat.
Nick, how are you looking at this?
So on comparing some prices, Athletic Club went away to Betis and went off 11-10 away. So the market perception of the difference between a club that Man United have just given a good seeing to and Betis, there's quite a big gulf there, and that would concern me. I'd want to see the Chelsea team, though, before I committed to backing them. In terms of a bet, I really do think it's Isco that pulls the strings for Betis. And I was speaking to some people that watch La Liga, and they do. If you stop, there'll be a lot of talk about Antony and Lo Celso from an English perspective. Mm. But if you stop Isco, you stop Betis, and he'll be the key player. He's their joint top scorer, and he's got more assists than anyone else in their squad as well. So again, if we look at those to score or to assist in the game market, if you want to get with Betis that way, Isco would be the player that I'd go with there.
And James, Chelsea have scored more than double the amount of goals that Betis have in this year's competition. Are they going to have enough strike power, do you think, to see off the Spaniards?
I think over 2.5 goals. I think there's a bit of odds against about it. I think that looks a really solid bet. You know, I'm not sure how much we're going to read into Chelsea beating Noah 8-0 in the league phase. A match I'm sure we all remember fondly. But yeah, I think, you know, Betis, as I said, coming into the game with great confidence. And you know, it's an important game for Maresca and Chelsea as well. You know, over 2.5 goals has copped in 18 of Betis' last 25, both legs of the semi-final against Fiorentina. And one player, again, you know, as Nick says, you need to be looking for the Chelsea team news. But Enzo Fernandez in the goal scorer markets is interesting. I think he started the season, had 5 shots in his first 10 appearances, but he's really been given license to get forward more since then. He's scored 6 league goals, and yeah, I think he's could be an interesting price depending on where he plays. Has been playing kind of, you know, almost in a kind of number 10 role at times. So
I'm just going to put up Nicholas Jackson playing against Spanish teams. Think that, you know, that might just be able to reprogram his mind a little bit. And if you have a look at his sort of non-penalty XG, it kind of compares very well with always the favourite in this market, which is Cole Palmer. Mm. The difference between the two is that Palmer is more reliable in front of goal. But I think if Jackson starts, you know, there will be opportunities for him.
Okay, well, it may be played down in some quarters, the Conference League final, but it will be a bumper crowd in Poland for Chelsea against Real Betis on Wednesday, the 28th of May, in the Europa Conference League final. Well, the fourth and final to concentrate on in terms of this final FIFA show is the Champions League showdown, which takes place, of course, between Paris Saint-Germain and Inter Milan at Bayern Munich's Allianz Arena. It is on Saturday, May the 31st, and Mark, it does promise to be a really interesting clash between two different styles of two teams.
Yeah, I think that I do prefer it when you don't get sort of two teams playing the same way against each other. I think it does lend itself to sort of a more interesting game. I think Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain would have been the dream final from a football point of view. And also, Nick was telling me before, he was on Barcelona to win it, and then you topped off on Bayern Munich, so Inter are kind of not his favourite team at the moment. But I like the fact that we've got two different styles of play. I think had it been like an Arsenal-Inter final, could have been a slog, really. And you recent trend in Champions League is for low-scoring games. I think the fact that Paris are there means that you're going to get an open game, but it's not a completely one-sided game, because having beaten Bayern and Barcelona, Inter have shown that they really like sort of playing as the underdog, but also on the counter-attack. So I think it's set up to be a brilliant game. Champions League final is always my favourite match of the whole year, and I can't wait for it.
Bizarre, James, when I looked at the head-to-head stats, that these two have never faced each other in the Champions League before. You just automatically think that, you know, there's so many Champions League games these days they will have done. So it's going to be a bit of a first in terms of that. And obviously we said about the other finals, Inter three times champions, Paris Saint-Germain not won it yet. Is the tension going to get to them a little bit in the final?
I don't know. I just feel like the way that Luis Enrique has kind of developed this side, you know, it's been a really tumultuous season for them. You know, after that slow start, you know, after losing Mbappe, it took them, you know, months to really hit their stride. You know, Dembele was dropped for the league phase defeat at Arsenal for disciplinary reasons, and you know, you don't want to retrofit the narrative too much, but looking at the way that they've played since kind of November, December, there is that incredible team ethos, and you know, Dembele, player who scored three league goals last season, is suddenly the most lethal finisher in the competition, and you know, the other thing you'd say in PSG's favour is, you know, you can ink their starting 11 in. They've had very few injuries, obviously able to take it easy in the domestic competitions, and just the balance of the side, the fitness, I think that blend of sort of finesse and steel that they showed knocking out Liverpool, Aston Villa, then Arsenal. I think they set a really high standard.
I just want to say that Milks is saying that, you know, not to retrofit the narrative. I mean, no football pundit would ever be able to work again. That is how we all work. It's how most people judge football, to be honest.
I mean, the irony will be there, Nick, certainly, if PSG lift the trophy, when you think that they've had Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, all the big names brought in to try and bring them this trophy, and they could do it with more of a team ethic.
Yeah, the signing in January of the Georgian, don't make me Paul Merson his name, but has made a huge difference to me. I don't understand how all the Premier League clubs have missed him, because he was so good at Napoli, and he's gone in there and he's made a huge difference to the team and elevated them, because Milts mentioned that night at Arsenal where they played in the league phase of the competition. They weren't awful, but got beat 2-0, and they didn't look like a Champions League winner at all. They ended up finishing 15th in the league phase. Well, that's Man United and Tottenham levels, isn't it, where they've done. So you couldn't see before Christmas what PSG were about to become. It was really that night against Liverpool, actually they lost the game, but the way they played in that first leg made everyone sit up and like, hold on, they might play in a so-called Farmers League, but this is exceptional what they've just produced here. They still need a penalty shootout to see off Liverpool. That seems to have got forgotten in all the narrative now, that they could easily have gone out that night.
Yeah.
And I just think this is going to be very close. And because PSG are clear favourites, I actually narrowly favour Inter here.
Nick, Arne Slot said after the first leg that on the kind of underlying numbers, that Paris Saint-Germain were the best team in the competition. Is he working off different software to everyone else? Because I don't remember certainly it's something he said. And I remembered it. I was like, I can't sort of work out what he's sort of looking at.
I think it'd be hard pressed to argue that case prior to that tie that they've been the best team in the tournament.
Maybe their modelling's just really good.
Well, yeah, they should be betting into Asia, shouldn't they? Liverpool. I didn't have them as the best team in the competition prior to that. They can justifiably be called that right now. But I just think this game is going to be very close, quite low event and low scoring probably, which is not what Inter's semi-final became. But Champions League finals traditionally are tight and low scoring, and if that's the case, it favours a possible 1-0 underdog. So I, without any real confidence here, I'm slightly Inter side.
Well, I mean, just doubling up basically on what Nick mentioned there about Inter's style, I mean, they've kept 8 clean sheets in 14 European ties this season, Mark. But you look at the semi-final against Barcelona, and they show they can do it at the other end of the pitch as well.
Yeah, I mean, the semi-final and the quarter-final were strange games because they were outshot convincingly, but they did create a lot of chances. I mean, if you go back to the first leg against Barcelona, it finished 3-3, and you couldn't work out kind of that game at all because there were times when Inter would have been gutted that they only finished 3-3, and there were other times when Barcelona looked like they were going to score 5 or 6, and it was pretty much the same at San Siro as well. I think Inter are very good at hanging in there. Dumfries on the right-hand side is a threat going forward, and also, you know, decent defensively. Bastoni's a very good centre-back. They're strong on set pieces. They like to counter-attack. They've got quality up front with Thuram and Martinez. And in midfield, it's probably more workman-like, but Barella is the standout one in there. So they've got a reasonable chance. I just prefer Paris Saint-Germain to lift the trophy would be the way I would go. I think the fact that they've been able to rest players for most of the season really will be beneficial because Inter have been fighting on three fronts for the whole campaign. They've got the oldest team in Italy, the oldest team in the Champions League. And if it goes the distance and it even goes to penalties, Janssen was not a bad goalkeeper, but I'd be wanting Donnarumma there. And if it is to be won in general play, Kvaratskhelia, Dembele, and then whoever plays out of Doué or Barcola on the other wing. I think it's just more explosive.
In terms of Inter and their fitness issues, Miltz, would that worry you a little bit? Because Thuram and Lautaro Martinez have had knocks in the build-up to the final.
That's it, yeah. I mean Thuram was a doubt, wasn't he, I think, for the first leg. And then Martinez clearly struggling. But, and you know, they are so important to Inter. I mean, the backup strikers, with all due respect, are not
Raymond on now.
Yes, are not great. And you know, those two produced some really magical moments. The Thuram back heel and then Martinez's finish against Bayern was magnificent. And then we saw them in the semi-final as well. I just think, you know, Barcelona were to a degree architects of their own downfall there. You know, and Paris Saint-Germain just seemed to have that balance between attack and defence. Seem to just be a bit shrewder when it comes to now the forwards can bomb fullbacks can bomb forwards, I think they're not going to be quite as naive possibly as Barcelona were. I think it will be an open final actually. I'd be edging towards Paris Saint Germain to win and both teams to score. You know, just mentioning the quality of those strikers, and one player bet to look out for I think is Nuno Mendes, the left back to. In the shots markets, you know, maybe to have a couple of shots, scored in both legs against Aston Villa in the quarterfinals. I think he's scored 4 goals in the Champions League. And, you know, we saw in the second half of the second leg against Barca, you know, Gerard Martin was the kind of key attacking player on the pitch for Barcelona. Had so much space out from left back. So, yeah, I think he's one to watch there, Mendes.
Where's this game won and lost for you, Nick, in terms of areas of the pitch?
I think the central move, I think, Barella's a massive player for Inter, and PSG central midfield with Vitinha. He doesn't look like the player I remember from Molineux. I'm not sure. No. I'm not sure what cheat
different
mode
ones,
was used for him to become what he's become. So I think Barella's really important in the central midfield. If I was having a player market bet, I'd maybe look at Jan Bisek for a booking. I think the way that he'll play right side of the three and the way that Dumfries bombs forward, he will be left isolated sometimes against the Georgian.
Kvaratskhelia.
Yeah. So I think him for a yellow card might be the way I'd look there.
In terms of yellow cards, I like Di Marco. Similar reasons, really, just the way that PSG attacked down those wings, and as the left wing back for Inter, he had a difficult first leg against Lamine Yamal, and most people will, but if you've got Doué or Barcola on that side and Hakimi, you know, it becomes a difficult, I was going to say 90 minutes, but he normally gets the hook on 60 to 65. So, this bet, you might only get about an hour to get the Di Marco card. But I remember in the second leg against Lamine Yamal, he was so much more aggressive against him. And I feel like Inter will be streetwise / physical / dirty to knock PSG off their rhythm. I don't think it's a bad tactic, but it might mean that a few of their players pick up cards. One other bet I like is Dembele in the goal scorer markets. I don't actually think he's getting the respect he deserves in terms of sort of how short he is or could be in this market. He's putting up numbers of an elite forward, top scorer in France, you know, come alive in the Champions League knockout stage. I don't know where it's come from, but yeah, I'm liking the look of Dembele and Miltz. Have you got anything that you like in the player markets?
Yeah, just the Mendes, as I mentioned, you know, shots and also, you know, clearly got an eye for goal. But I'd mention Hakimi as well, who's just such an all-action player, you know, to score or assist, and probably a yellow card as well. I think he's you know, outstanding finish in the second leg against Arsenal, and it just seems to be everywhere, doesn't it?
All action build a player. Pal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Commentators out there are hoping that it's Doué who gets the winning goal, not Kvaratskhelia in Munich. I'm sure that it's going to be an intriguing clash, whatever way it goes, between Inter Milan and PSG. And just to remind you that that final, of course, of the Champions League takes place on Saturday, May the 31st. Well, we've got now a treble for you for the three European finals. We'll start off with the all-English affair in the Europa League final, where Tottenham take on Manchester United. Nick, what's the suggested bet here?
We're going to take Tottenham outright to lift the trophy. What's a very close final, but probably Tottenham's best 11, as close as it will be to it, is slightly better than Manchester United's, and we want to be with Tottenham in that final.
Okay, so Tottenham in the Europa League final. Miltz, will pass on to you for the Conference League final. What are we looking at for Chelsea against Betis?
Yeah, we're going to go for both teams to score in this one. Yeah, big game for both sides. Pressure on Maresca. I think he's going to name a pretty strong starting lineup, having rested players. But Betis come into it in great form as well. You know, high-scoring semi-final win against Fiorentina. So should be entertaining. Both teams to score in this one.
Okay, and last but certainly not least, it is the Champions League final, mark between PSG and Inter Milan. And what are we looking at here?
There was a big debate in the studio over which way this was going to go. Nick is in the Inter camp, but he's been outvoted 2-1. Me and James are both fancy PSG, so we're going to go for PSG to lift the trophy. I think their extra quality in the final third, really, with Kvaratskhelia and then Ousmane Dembele, and then whether it's Doué or Barcola, doesn't really matter. They've got a beautiful blend in midfield and can probably just got that extra firepower, might see them over the line. So we're going for Paris Saint-Germain to lift the trophy, Tottenham to lift the trophy, both teams to score in Real Betis against Chelsea.
And just a reminder that it's Wednesday the 21st of May for the Europa League final between Manchester United and Spurs. It's Wednesday the May the 28th for Chelsea against Real Betis, and Saturday May 31st for the Champions League showdown between PSG and Inter. And just to remind you of those SBK offers, they'll be running a 50% bet builder boost on all four of the finals we've been covering. Maximum stakes and T's and C's apply. And also they'll be updating their welcome offer to bet £10, get £40 free. So make sure you check out all the offers with SBK ahead of the finals. Enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.